This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
We're on to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is celebrating with a huge odds boost for new customers. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, you can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 50-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Charlie Collier, as we kick off this lunch hour here on Thursday, January 20th, one day after our dear friend Hayden's birthday.
Yeah.
We missed his birthday shout out on the show.
Yeah, we did.
I thought about it, but...
I did not think about it.
I just didn't want to.
I didn't think about it. I felt bad.
I felt really
bad.
I'm
a big birthday guy.
I felt bad, too. I saw his girlfriend put something on his story at like 11:30 last night. I was looking at Instagram, and I was like, oh, oops, it's his birthday. I'll shoot him a text.
See, I'm not I don't look at Instagram. I don't look at really Facebook. Either. I was just sitting there watching TV last night at like 12:09. I was like, January 20th. I was like, I know something's like happening right now. I was like, my stepsister's birthday is this weekend. I was like, I know, yeah. I'm just trying to think. I was like, oh no, the 20th. Then I was like, that means the 19th is over. I was like, the 19th, oh no, that's Hayden's birthday.
Just next year, remember when you see Dolly Parton's birthday pop up, it's also.
Well, I remember him always hammering, it's the day after Martin Luther King Day. That's how he always answered trivia questions, everything.
It's not the same every year.
Yeah, wait.
But he might have been saying that like the last 2 years whenever around there. But I knew that he had just been always talking about sharing a birthday with Dolly Parton and Mac Miller. And it hit me last night.
Yeah, I got that text to him. 11:50, baby. I made it in time.
So we all basically texted at the same time then, I guess, because you texted him at 11:50. I texted him at 12:10. And then Cam sent another one at like 12:25. And none of us like – collaborated to say that, so he probably thought like we all saw the same thing.
Yeah,
I don't know. But mine was just like a middle of the night panic. I look at my phone.
Yeah, they were not related at all. Yeah. There was no correlation here, Hayden. If you're listening, we weren't collabing.
I guarantee he's not listening. He's not going to talk to us for. Yeah.
He also turned 21 yesterday. You think he's even awake right now?
Oh man! Oh, we can go buy Hayden a White Claw.
It's true.
Oh my gosh!
You could share a White Claw in public with him now.
What a time. What a time to be alive. We'll hit the town with Hayden before we hit the town with Draven. I guarantee you that.
Probably both are very unlikely. Cam, how are you today on this Thursday afternoon?
I'm doing good. Doing good. A little chilly, but rocking and rolling.
It is actually very chilly.
Yeah, it's terrifyingly cold outside. But rocking and rolling. Getting closer to the weekend. It's coming fast now. I thought the beginning of the week was going kind of slow, but it's kind of sped up for me now. I'm ready to get to the sports.
We're getting close.
We're getting there. How are y'all feeling?
Calm before the storm.
Okay.
I've transitioned again today.
You're nervous again?
No. I've gone from nervous to yesterday, like ready to fight natural disasters, and now today I'm just like aggressive and on edge. Short, I guess, with people. Like, I don't know. Just now, like, I'm
getting tense.
Fight. Like, I want to fight.
You're getting
just
tense.
Somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I'm.
Just anybody?
Yeah.
All right. Not me. I don't want to fight.
as I scroll ESPN. Are the Titans the NFL's worst number one seed since 1983?
That's what I've been saying. I think the article actually was the guy walking it back a little bit, because that little nerd that's been saying that all year has tried to sort of walk it back, because I think he's picking the Titans over the Bengals.
Oh, okay.
After, like, he has been guaranteeing basically for the last, like, 2 months that the Titans are going to be one and done in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because he thought the Chargers and the Patriots were going to be there, and the Colts, and, like, oh, all of them are better. They'll be playing there. They'll beat them. But now you get there, and I was like, well, the Bengals actually, their DVOA is actually just as bad as the Titans. I think the Titans are 18th and the Bengals are 20th. So,
so it's just based off the DVOA.
Yeah, they're basically going off of the DVOA. Yeah. And the Titans' metrics, like, they've been hard to figure out this year simply because they've been injured.
Yeah.
So, some of the performances have been pretty bad. But, like, the Titans healthy is going to be a different animal. And the Titans, you know, set a record with 8 wins over playoff teams.
Yeah. Yeah, they started the arc with – they have some impressive wins this season.
Or at least eight wins over winning teams with winning records. We'll dive into the NFL a bit later. Some breaking news right before we come on the air. We had kind of wondered what the hell was going on whenever you see – Isaiah Neyor, the wide receiver from Wyoming, who had committed to Tennessee before visiting.
Yep.
Got to Tennessee. Still went, you know, was rumored to go see Ole Miss before, I guess, he came to Tennessee. And then all of a sudden was like, okay, no more visits. And then, you know, ended up visiting Texas. Well, he has now, according to him, officially signed. I don't know if that's the case. I don't think there's anything to actually sign is what I was reading for these transfers, but I guess he's enrolled in classes and ready to go.
Oh, boy.
So Tennessee loses a guy that people were pretty excited about and really the only name you've gotten so far in the transfer portal, or had in the transfer portal at least, because, you know, obviously he's gone now. He's a guy from Wyoming who had 44 catches last year, 878 yards, 12 touchdowns. Looked like he was going to be a really good compliment for this offense and a really good compliment to Cedric Tillman.
Absolutely.
The guys over at VolQuest were trying to tell you, like, hey, don't worry about it. He's enrolled. He's texting QB1. Nothing's going to happen. And, you know, then he goes to Texas. And now, you know, it's like, you know what? I'm going to stay at Texas.
So I know he committed here before he visited. Did he ever end up visiting?
To Tennessee? Yeah, yes. He came here this last weekend.
Okay.
Like, he had committed before, but then, yeah, ended up coming to campus this past weekend.
Man, who was showing them around? Who dropped the ball here?
I don't know if it's dropping the ball as much as it is. Like, Tennessee, are you worried about this, Charlie? Because to me it seems like this is another example of Tennessee maybe not being able to keep up with the actual big boys.
Yeah, I mean, it appears that, you know, Texas dropped the bag.
A legal bag. I mean,
like, the legal bags in Tennessee not really doing so.
I mean, Tennessee, like,
presumably.
I don't want to make it a full indictment on the program, but to me, man, like, was it not pretty much understood? Did it not come out that Cade Mays is like, hey, I want, like, fourth or fifth round money?
Yeah.
Like, give me fourth or fifth round money and I'll come back to school. And, you know, he's your starting offensive lineman. He's your, you know, a legacy guy. He's a Knoxville kid. He's a, you know, a former five-star. He's a guy that you really wanted here. He's all these things. Like, he's a pretty good SEC player.
Yep.
And, you know, Tennessee couldn't find $300,000 for him?
That is problematic.
Obviously, we don't really know exactly what's going on, you know, to the full, like, scope of things with recruiting and with NIL deals and what's been offered to players and what hasn't at various locations. But, you know, certainly from what we do know, it does feel like Tennessee has fallen behind that, you know, the top tier of programs right now that are just throwing around money.
Well,
that
to me,
are being able to buy teams and players and recruiting classes. You know, you haven't heard the same kind of things about Tennessee. For the most part.
I mean, to me, Tennessee is now officially at its crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the moment in time right now, and it's funny because it's because of a wide receiver from Wyoming. But at the same time, like, you have to decide. Are you a big boy or are you not?
Mm-hmm.
And everything has pointed to Tennessee being in the not category. Over the last, what, 8 years. I mean, look, I don't want to panic over a guy from Wyoming, but it is a situation where you've had plenty of opportunities to show your fans, to show, you know, everyone in the state, everyone in the SEC, everyone in the country that you're serious.
Yep.
And time after time, you've kind of just dropped the ball. You've fumbled. You have shown like, eh, we're fine with being just middle of the pack. The brand will sell itself. The Power T, tradition, Peyton Manning. But like, look at every coaching hire you've made. Yep. And I know we bitch a lot about it. But like, Tennessee is paying their head coach how much right now? $4 million? Where is that rank, Charlie, in the SEC? 10th?
I would guess somewhere between 8 and 11.
I would say it's – I don't know who would be paid less in the SEC other than, like, Clark Lee.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe Drinkwitz.
Mike Leach, maybe.
I think Mike Leach is in the $5 million club.
Yeah, probably.
For them to hire him from another Power 5 school. I'm imagining he's making at least $5 million. I'd like to see an official breakdown, but I'm saying 10th at best. So, like, you've been saying this entire time, like, eh, we're all right. We don't need to be serious. We can kind of keep being a, for lack of a better term, a cheap program. One that's just going to run out a product that, you know, maybe it'll be good, maybe it'll be great, maybe it won't be. Oh, well, we'll spin the wheel again, and you know what we'll do then when we hire another coach? We will go bargain bin shopping again. We'll hire the head coach from Central Florida for $4 million. We will hire the defensive coordinator from Alabama that's not Kirby Smart. We will hire Butch Jones from Cincinnati. We will hire Derek Dooley from Louisiana Tech. Like, time and time again, this program has been like, you know what? We're not going to make a splash hire. Look at all the money got thrown around this year. Look at what LSU just did. Look what USC just did.
Mm-hmm.
Where they said, we're big boys. We're big boys. This is what we're going to do. We're going to come out. We're going to pay $10 million for a coach. We don't care.
Going into this season, Heupel was 10th in the SEC.
Yeah. Do you have who he ranked ahead of?
Yeah, he was tied with Drinkwitz.
Okay.
So technically 10th, 11th in there. Right behind them is Pittman at 2.9.
Did Pittman not get like
he
a
may have got a raise,
I think Pittman
though.
Got a huge raise.
This article is from December 9th, 2021. We're both reading the same thing on Yahoo.
The one I'm looking at is from October of 2021. So, it's like before the season. So, yeah, if he got a raise, he's ahead of him now, so that would bump Heupel back.
I thought Pittman was all the way in like the $6 or $7 million
I thought
million
he
club.
Did just get a big raise, but I'm looking at an article from December 9th. It also doesn't have the updated hirings, so this list isn't exactly perfect. But, yeah, Shane Beamer, Clark Lee, Sam Pittman were below him.
Pittman now makes $7.1 million.
So Sam Pittman is now above him. So he's
Lane
Kiffin
makes
$7.25. And he's ahead of Beamer and presumably Clark Lee, who's –
unreported.
So run that for me again from the bottom. We got Vanderbilt, South Carolina.
And then us in Missouri.
Any of the new hires get are any of them making less than?
I mean, who are the new hires? I mean, I know Brian Kelly's
Billy,
not.
Yeah, Billy
Napier.
Billy
Napier's not.
I was just wondering.
Yeah, no, I'm saying those are the only two hires I know. Because Florida, did they go out and get, you know, a grand slam? Did they go out and hire a big name? No, but they said they got the guy they wanted.
Yep.
Whether you believe that or not, they got Billy Napier, who, you know, passed up some good opportunities. He passed up Auburn, which would have paid him, you know, at least doubled his salary from when he was at Louisiana.
Yep.
But, like, they hired a guy that was at least somewhat in demand. But look at what you just said. Tennessee is paying Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and Missouri money. And I don't even know if Eli Drinkwitz got an extension. Surely not after the year he had, I guess.
You wouldn't think so.
But who knows, maybe with the recruiting class he pulled in.
But
you're paying among the doorsteps of the SEC.
Is that really something to be mad about?
Yes, it is. Because you had a chance, and I've been bitching about this for a full year. Like last year, around this time, you had a chance to have some foresight and say, we can go out and spend $7 or $8 million for a coach. Because guess what? All this extra SEC money's coming in, and even now, whenever we find out that Texas and Oklahoma have been talking to the SEC for like over a year, you should have had some idea that these salaries are going to balloon. I sat here on the show, Troy, I said, every coach worth a damn in Power 5 football is going to be making $6 or $7 million.
Yep.
Right.
You knew that was coming, $7, $8 million. Good coach is going to be paying $10 million and nobody's going to blink. And you still went and said, well, we're going to spend $4 million and we're going to hire the coach from UCF. And I have no problems with Josh Heupel as a person. I have no problems, for the most part, with the job he's done here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you bought a bargain bin coach.
Yep.
And if Tennessee wants to be a bargain bin program, that's fine. But like year in, year out, they're at the top of money, you know, money generated. They're in the top, you know, 20 of the money generated for the last decade. Like, mm-hmm. it's a big time program that gets by with being cheap. Again,
you have to have someone that's worth paying.
No, you don't.
That wants to come to Tennessee.
What do you mean? What do you
like
mean?
You like, can say like you can invest $7, $8 million, $9 million into a head coach, and yes, I would have loved that. That would have made me thrilled. But were there any guys that are actually worth the $7 million, the $8 million, the $9 million, willing to come to the University of Tennessee at the point in time which we were searching for a head coach?
When you say worth $7, $8 million, what do you mean by that?
Guys that aren't bargain bin head coaches.
I mean, you could.
Do you think anyone was actually willing to take that Tennessee job that was worth a damn?
I mean, if you would have been ahead of the curve and spending $8 million when someone like, you know, Sam Pittman was making $2.5, $2.9 million. I'm not saying you hire Sam Pittman, but I'm saying that's where the money was last year. Like, all these coaches were making $2 or $3 million. You could have went out and threw $6 or $7 million at somebody and gotten better than Josh Heupel. I don't want to do a coaching search retroactively, but hell, there were names. I mean, let's say you talked to James Franklin, right? Mm-hmm. Those were the rumors that you talked to James Franklin last year, right?
Yes.
In January. And the rumors, again, none of this has been concretely reported because there's no official offers. And every AD hires their first choice, right? Like, that's what they always say. Yep. We didn't officially offer those contracts. But, like, the report, Charlie, was that Tennessee didn't hire James Franklin over a couple extra million dollars. Like, they offered him $8 million, he wanted $10 million. Tennessee let him go for $2 million, according to, like, the rumors and reports. I don't know if this is valid or if this is true or whatever. But, like, Tennessee looked and said, we'll pay this guy $7.5 million, but I really don't know if we can give him $9 million. I really don't know if we can just go to a coach and say, you know what, we're not going to let you say no. We're not just going to give you money because at a certain point, you can buy almost anybody. Like, do you agree with that? Like, I mean, LSU got Brian Kelly because they just gave him a bunch of money.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly – like, I would like to back up the Brinks truck for a top-quality coach. I wish we would have done that, but – again,
but
I think we'd kick the tires with plenty of the top tier coaches.
Like James Franklin's James Franklin's the only name that was like even linked to Tennessee. Like, and then it immediately went to Sonny Dykes and Tony Elliott.
I don't think anyone was interested. Like the even if you would, I mean,
what do you mean interested?
Like the Tennessee that job was not in a good enough place.
All right, then what about in 2015? Or what about in 2018? What about in 2014? Whenever
yes,
you're
those were all terrible hires where you were hiring bargain bin head coaches. But in this specific instance,
it's not Tennessee's fault for being cheap. Like they've been cheap.
They
for
got
a
new AD. Like it's a new situation than what it was back then. So why are like how can you compare what dumbass Philip Fulmer's doing or dumbass John Curry or Hart or whoever else to what a competent AD and Danny White's doing?
Okay, let's unpack that then. Let's work backwards. Tennessee hired Josh Heupel. Who made the hire? Danny White.
Yes.
You just told me that Tennessee broke the bank to go hire Danny White. They gave him, what, top five AD money? So why would Danny White have been interested in Tennessee, but head football coaches wouldn't have been? They paid Danny White enough money to make him say, you know what, this actually looks pretty appealing. This looks like something pretty good. Why could they convince Danny White to do that, but he couldn't convince a head coach to do that
because
with money?
Danny White would then be inheriting an athletic program that is, from a business perspective, is in a great situation from an athletics perspective outside of the football program, which is obviously the athletic program.
Right.
But outside of the football program, pretty much every other program is at its peak.
You can't tell me Tennessee's football program is at the point where nobody would take $7 or $8 million to come here, and then tell me that Danny White looked and saw like a good athletics program because. You just said it. You understand that the football program is the athletic department. That's where all the money comes from. That's where all the fundraising comes from. So, like, if Danny White looked and said, this is good enough for me with this pay raise, you can't convince me that a head football coach would not view the same, especially after, you know, where Tennessee has been. Because if you come here and you go 7-6 in year one, people are pretty happy. Like, I'm not saying people are ready to build a statue for Josh Heupel, but, like, we don't ask for a lot around here from our coaches.
They're in on him.
So to me, it just doesn't make sense. Like that, you can go and poach what some people thought was a top five AD. I mean, like I remember the day we hired Danny White. Everyone on the internet, all of the people that usually hate Tennessee that criticize everything they do, are like, "Grand slam, good job by Tennessee. They're finally taking sports seriously. They ponied up the money and they got Danny White from one of the best jobs in the country."
Yep.
Because I mean, UCF, was. Sure, it wasn't the big time, but everyone kept saying like it would take something really special to get Danny White away from there. It took money is what it took. It took doubling his salary. I mean, we came down there and we had to get the special approval for drawing a blank on his name, the Randy Boyd.
Yeah.
Like, Randy Boyd had to, like, overwrite and, like, pony up some money himself and, like, come and do that. But, like, money spoke and you hired a big guy. Yep. And the athletic department seems to be running pretty smoothly right now.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like paying Danny White so far has been worth the return. Like you said, everything else around here is looking pretty healthy. You could argue the football program is healthy because it did go 7-5 in the regular season. You did make a ball game. Mm-hmm. You did exceed some people's expectations. It wasn't rock bottom. Yep. You got your renovations rolling now, right? Like, the party deck is coming.
Yeah, they're working on it.
Go ahead.
At the same time, what is it really a bad thing that Josh Heupel is getting paid a low amount of money? He's probably going to, if he has another year that he builds on what he did last year, like if he takes another step forward, odds are he gets a raise and extension, and then he's a $5 million coach, a $6 million coach. And then from there, you know, he becomes a coach that's worth money. At anything, we're just saving money and still getting results that I think we all agree were pretty positive, that we're all pleased with.
I mean, I think they were fine. I mean, 7-6 is 7-6, no matter, like, you know, how you try to spin it. It's 7-6.
7-6 with an asterisk. I can't say that word.
Asterisk.
Well. Asterisk.
What is the asterisk in that game that you could have, like...
Music City Bowl.
Where did the asterisk come from?
Should have won that game.
Why?
A plethora of reasons, one of them being officiating.
Like, if they call that touchdown... And overtime, like, are you fully confident we were getting a stop? Like, we hadn't stopped Purdue all game. Like,
we stopped them in the red zone pretty much every time. It was just not the big plays that beat us.
Right, but, like, I mean, they had scored, you know, a whole bunch of points against us, and I'm not sure you can say that with confidence.
Even before that,
I
feel pretty confident that Cedric Tillman got yanked backwards on a play that he would have scored the game-winning touchdown with roughly, like, 7 seconds left, so.
I mean, if you want to dissect, like, every bad officiated, like, moment, sure, like, Kentucky, you sound like a Kentucky fan right now. Sitting here talking about how they would have won the football game if Stoops didn't get a personal foul and all these penalties against them didn't go the wrong way. Like, that happens in football games.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to us. It favored us once. It did not favor us three times.
So you think, like, okay, I mean, like, I'm not going to go back and dissect the officiating from every game. The Pittsburgh game, the fourth down, I'm sure you're talking about.
Ole Miss
and
Purdue negatively impacted us to the point where I think it could have prevented us from winning.
I would say
Kentucky
coaching
game gave us a win.
I would say coaching was just as much a part of that in the Pittsburgh game and the Ole Miss game. But my point being, would I feel warm and fuzzy if Tennessee was paying, if they gave Josh Heupel $8 million? No, that's not what I'm saying, Troy. I'm saying is we have a history of just being cheap. And right now, to tie it back to the big story of the day, you're getting big boyed by Texas.
Texas.
You're getting big boyed by Texas. And look, I understand there are going to be a lot of money floating around those programs. It's oil money. We know Texas A&M just put together the best recruiting class in the history of recruiting, according to the people. I understand that. Texas is going to be in a similar situation with the NIL deals. What I'm looking at, Charlie, is that we have nothing. We have nothing. We couldn't get $300,000 for Cade Mays, who grew up right down the road.
Yeah, I agree.
Whose dad went to school here, whose brother is on campus here. I would imagine they're going to recruit little Camp, too. I don't know if he's going to be a football player or not, but I'd imagine he's going to follow in daddy and his brother's footsteps. Like, I don't know.
So.
But, like, it's not about Wyoming. It's not just about Josh Heupel being a bargain bin coach. It's everything. Like, how do we not have an NIL deal?
No, we agreed on the initial aspect of the argument. It was
to me,
just
it's all connected.
It was the coach. Yeah, and I agree there is a connection too. I saw you were being a little too harsh on the coaching aspect of things, but I agree there is an issue that the fact that you can't get Cade Mays $300K, the fact that you're not hearing anything about NIL deals with players, that you don't have NIL momentum.
If you're gonna save all this money on the coaches and everything else,
but the NIL money is
spend
also
it somewhere else,
not coming from the university and the, like, against the boosters, and you just had to, I guess, find a way to get them to
up. You work hand in hand,
right?
Yeah, that's how
you work hand in hand with
too.
All this. Like, Texas A&M isn't. I'm imagining, again, I'm not there on the ground, but I'm imagining, like, the Texas A&M and Jimbo and all everybody there is not completely, like, separated from what's going on with the boosters and the money and the LLCs.
They're working
and
together,
right.
But they can't just be like, okay, here, we made $10 million from, being in this bowl game and the TV money. Let's use that $10 million to spend. The money that's spent has to be spent by not the program itself.
I understand that, but they work hand in hand.
Like, yeah, I know they work hand in hand. Like,
then Tennessee is dropping the ball there too. Like, you're telling me like money's not here around the program?
No, they are dropping the ball, but it's like, you know, it's not just Tennessee. Like, you have to get the boosters to spend the money, and if they're not spending the money, like, I don't know what you do.
Charlie, I've talked about it before. Like, I knew somebody that was trying to give Hinton Hooker a bunch of money last year to represent his company, and they couldn't get anybody over on campus to, like, call him back. Like, I talked to a real estate development company that wanted to make Hinton Hooker, like, the face of, like, their advertising, and we talked about it, like, in October, November. Like,
that's embarrassing.
They couldn't get anybody on the phone over there. Yep. Like, they let a wide receiver over there. Is it Furking? Mm-hmm. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Like, he's, you know, was trying to handle some of the NIL stuff, and I know he's, like, a good businessman and all that stuff, but, like, one of my clients was trying to reach out to them. And was like, hey, we're trying to give, like, Hinton Hooker a bag to, like, kind of, like, you know, get the ball rolling. And, like, they couldn't get anybody to return a phone call for months.
Which is insane.
I think at the very least, like, you could have to say, like, Tennessee hasn't worked hand-in-hand with these athletes. Mm-mm. They're not helping.
Nope.
They might not be at fault. I'm not blaming them for everything. I understand that, like, there has to be money coming from other businesses. But, like, I know other schools are figuring it out. Like, I know Miami is figuring it out.
We agree that Tennessee is dropping the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just disagreeing on, like, specific semantics, I guess.
I'm looking at the full entire, like, last decade and a half. It probably goes back even further than a decade and a half. But it's inexcusable to me. Not so much that Texas outbid you for Neer. That's fine.
He also Texas native. Maybe that had something to do with it. Probably not.
To me, I don't think it did.
I don't think it did either. It's relative, at least.
Sure. But, like, I think if he hadn't committed to Tennessee in the first place,
mm-hmm.
I might agree with you there. But, like, Texas was a factor
at the beginning.
So was Ole Miss, and he still was like, you know what, I want to come to Tennessee. Something happened. Mm-hmm. I think the dots to connect would be, you know, you look and you came with a heavy offer for NIL. I mean, does Tennessee have anything? Like, Texas, I know, like, Texas is one of those schools that – don't they have the every scholarship lineman?
Yeah,
is guaranteed $50,000.
Yes, we got nothing like that.
We got nothing like that, and I know we have money here in the program because we're renovating the stadium, and that's coming from, like, privately raised money. Yep. Now either Danny White isn't, like, getting the boosters to give money, and they're not like being smart with how they're divvying it up, because again, like, Danny has to know, like, hey, we can take this donation, and, like, I know you have X amount to give, Booster, but how about we funnel some of this to a fund that we're then going to partner with, and, like, we're going to money launder it, for lack of a better term. Like, it might not be on the up and up, but, like, other schools are cheating. Right? Like, other schools, like, Texas A&M is, like,
I mean, they allegedly dropped over $15 million on their signing class.
Right. And, like, I think that came with Texas A&M facilitating some of it, or at least being aware.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, I mean,
I know that they're working hand in hand. I'm just – the one thing I'm saying is – you know, are the boosters failing too?
Yes. And yeah, I don't know. Again, you don't know how much of this is real, how much of this is fake, how much of this is rumor and hearsay. But, like, there have been lots of talk, basically since Danny White took the job, that there's a disconnect there. Like, Danny has alienated some of the old money boosters with some of his actions and, like, changing some of the grandfathered seats and, like, taking out and putting party decks. Danny, you know, maybe isn't, like, doing the proper fundraising here, and maybe he thought he could come here and do the same things he did at UCF.
That's something he kind of had to do, though. Like, we had to take our athletic program into this century some of those regards, and I guess it was going to piss people off, and you hope that you just work through it, and it's maybe a little rough at first. I don't know.
I don't know what the answer is there. Like, I understand that, like, they wanted ticket sales to go up because that's something you can point to. And, like, when Danny White's trying to get his accolades and he's trying to get his next job, he can say, look, I grew Tennessee's season ticket sales by 10,000 because I made them cheaper for everyone else because I got rid of the grandfather donations, and, like, they had to pony up and pay for their seats too. And look at how much money that I raised here. But on the backside, if you're making your big money people mad and you're burning bridges of the good old boy network who all has friends that have been involved in this for 30 and 40 years, and then all of a sudden you're looking like, well, all of a sudden now Pilot doesn't really want anything to do with us, and Dish Network and all these other people that are giving money feel a little alienated or put off by Danny White, the new hot guy in town, then that's when you run into back-end problems where now you don't have any money to get Cade Mace some type of sponsorship to keep him here. I'm not saying he deserves $300,000, but I'm saying, like,
you should be able to provide that.
I'm saying if there's one guy that you should probably be able to get it for, it's the legacy kid,
the hometown legacy
who gave up a chance to win a national championship at Georgia. Because let's face it, he would have stayed there and been playing and won a national championship.
Yep.
Gave up that opportunity to stay at Georgia to come home and, like, couldn't find any money for him. To me, that just means that, like, whoever's in charge over there and whoever's in charge of the Tennessee Fund or in charge of the NIL partnerships, because somebody at UT has to, like, be working with these kids.
Yeah.
They're dropping the ball. And to me, I just think you're at a crossroads because you ain't catching Georgia. You ain't catching Alabama. That's fine. Texas, newsflash, is coming into the SEC. They just big boyed you. And they're going to big boy. Like, if they get their NIL stuff figured out, like, they'll be back. They'll be able to legally pay for good players. And Tennessee should have a better situation than they have right now. You shouldn't be losing players because of money here at a program that...
Yeah, you should be able to match anybody.
...has all the resources. That's what we always say here around here, right? Like, that's why we... Mm-hmm. Like, Charlie, you told me, like, you have hope that this team can win a national championship in the future. Like, you hope this program can be back. There has to be money here to do that.
And the
game, the way college football has changed, like, we have to have that now. And I'm worried we don't. Like I said, I think we're at a crossroads.
Yeah, you're right. They got to decide who they want to be.
What a depressing.
I don't mean to be depressing. I'm just mad. Like, it's just one of those things. Like, it's eye-opening. Like, Tennessee hasn't gotten anybody in the portal so far. The one guy you did get just got poached from you after he's already on campus. Like, he was in the directory and, like, on campus this weekend. And, like, oh, no, he's locked down. And then he's like, nope. And did he probably go to the highest bidder? Yeah. But, like, that's college football now. College football, like, but like if Zach Evans isn't even interested, the 5-star running back isn't even interested to come visit Tennessee because he says, like, or again reportedly that the money, the NIL stuff wasn't going to make it worth it, and he goes to Ole Miss, like, you got outbid by Ole Miss. Ole Miss found a way to make this guy more money than you could. Ole Miss. I don't know what's going on with Tyon Evans, but, like, you lost Tyon Evans to Louisville.
Well,
yeah.
What?
I mean, I don't know if I'd rope that one in with getting outbid or.
Oh, what do you think it was, though?
Enough money would have made him stay.
But what makes it make sense? I mean, like, if Tyon Evans would have transferred, like, home or transferred to, like, a bigger school, sure. But, like, he transferred to Louisville. Like, how does that make sense? Like, he had a pretty good season.
I think he's a guy that, I mean, he left midseason. Like, I think that he was not welcome to stay.
If that's the way you think, maybe. I haven't seen that he was, like, told to get. I know that, like, there was something weird with, like, the way they kept handling his injury.
I think there was things going on, like,
that
made him leave that were not money-related, and then he went to Louisville because that was the best he could do.
Okay. I mean, I thought he was a pretty good running back, and
I thought we were pretty
upset that he left, but if we told him to get, then I missed that, and maybe he did, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's just, to me, another impact guy that left here. I don't know. And now there's apparently some chatter on, like, Instagram, that Jeremy Banks is flirting with the NFL. So, like, he says he's the fastest, most athletic linebacker in the draft class, and check his stats.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
We'll see what happens to our linebacker depth that's already pretty terrible.
And Juwan Mitchell, maybe he's back.
Yeah, that'll do something for us. Long opening segment. I'm sorry for getting you fired up, Troy. I'm sorry for depressing you.
come on.
We're in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, only 100 calories and 1 gram of sugar. It won't weigh you down. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Drink some White Claw to get over the pain that Tennessee football is causing you. Maybe you aren't jaded like me. I still like. I don't want to take that dim out of your bright eyes, Charlie. I'm sorry.
You tried real hard to. It's Titans game week, man. I'm trying to be all happy, and then you just came in and were like, "Let me rip the Tennessee part of your soul out a little bit further."
I'm telling you.
No, I mean you're part of you. I think
I'm warning you.
I think you're mostly right.
I'm warning you.
I think maybe you're you know, I think you might be a little extreme, but I think you're on the. I think you're mostly right. Yeah, like, we obviously are behind the eight ball.
I mean,
hopefully the regulations and everything catch up before we fall too far behind.
Even further behind. Drink White Claw responsibly. We appreciate them for their support. Get you a 12-pack of variety flavors. White Claw is made with their unique brew pure process to deliver you only the finest flavors. Cam, send us to break. We'll come back as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Cam, was that too hard in that opening segment?
No, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. If you want to be with the big boys, you got to be able to do the same things the big boys do.
And one of those things is be willing to flop it out and throw some money on the table. You got to do that. Like, if you want to take that next step, you're going to have to either outbid some of these people for, you know, for players. You're going to have to pay the big money for coaches. You got to do all those kind of little things.
I don't even think they're little things anymore. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, college football is drastically different now. Like, and I don't know if people are going to like the way this progresses.
I don't think they will either. I think a lot of the college football traditionalists, this is like very anti everything. They kind of
you are love college sports, like, so you just hate this. I mean, like, I think when this first came across, I want to say that Tennessee fans were pretty optimistic, right?
They thought we had money. I've been against it, and it's not that I'm against players getting paid or NIL. I just think we rushed into it without any clear understanding of what it was going to look like, what the drawbacks were, what the possible repercussions were. And I was a bigger fan of illegally paying players in the NCAA pretending to care. I think that was the perfect system. I don't know why we went away from that system. You know, you guys can act like, oh, we're not paid, oh, boo-hoo. But, yeah, no, you're getting a bag just to come on a recruiting visit. Let's be honest with each other.
To me, I would say a part of that, some of the players probably are happier that this can go that way because, A, either they were too afraid to take a bag, or, B, when they got the bag, it went straight to their, you know, their parents. Mm-hmm. And they weren't actually like having any money when they got here because, like, the money they were getting was going just basically home. And also, I'd say, Troy, a big part of that for the players was, like, I feel like you got bags dropped off to you, like, when you're a junior and senior in high school. By the time you're, like, a sophomore in college, most of that money's probably gone, and you're not actually making money anymore. Like, you're not getting, like, the constant.
Well, sure, yeah, I mean, you have to produce then to continue to probably get money, and it's not even the same kind of money. It's not as good of money.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more was just, like, you know, now we're just continuing to give more and more money to, like, future recruits.
Yeah.
And, like, the people who are here. Like, I mean, you heard Arian Foster talk about it. I mean, I know we don't necessarily like Arian Foster here, but, like, I don't know how hyperbolic he's being when he's like, you know, when I'm here as a junior, like, basically didn't have any money to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, there's ways around that with the dining plan and all that stuff.
Well, not only that, like, we've now reached a point where the stipends were incredible, too. Like,
sure.
You could, I mean, they were making more on stipends than I make in a year at times.
Well, yeah, sure, but, like, they're still also, like, you would be able to get a job and, like, go out and do stuff. And I don't really want to talk about the NIL stuff or the money stuff and the players needing the money. Like, I think if you believe in free market, you have to believe in free market for everybody. And
I guess I just don't
– free market here in America. So
I just feel like it turns college football into minor league football, and no one cares about minor league baseball or minor league hockey or minor league basketball or minor league anything else.
A lot of people would argue it was already that way. Like, everybody outside the South would say, like, this was already that way. You know, the SEC and Alabama and – you know, Florida,
like,
and Georgia are already paying players, so, like,
I'm a
it
guy
just gives
that
other
loves
people an opportunity to, like, I guess, try to somewhat catch up.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's going to work out because, again, Texas A&M just had the best recruiting class ever.
And, like, I also, like, I adore Group of Five football. I love FCS football. I love watching the American Conference and the Conference USA and the Sun Belt and this, that, and the other. The Mountain West is the conference I watch more than any other conference in the country, including the SEC. So for me, like, also, it hurts those programs, I think, pretty specifically. So I guess that was another reason that I was pretty against NIL, just from a selfish standpoint. But obviously, I am an odd bird there in the fact that I like Group of Five football.
I mean, I don't think you are. I mean, I think that's probably because, and I think being a big Group of Five fan the last couple of years is probably not that dissimilar from what people felt like in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s just watching all of college football. Because, I mean, I think we all acknowledge, like, the SEC became a professional business. I mean, for lack of a better term, like, it became a feeder system. It became just so, like, overtly, like, yeah, there's no way these people aren't cheating or these people are coming here just to get to the NFL. Like, you did lose some of the quote-unquote passion that I think a lot of college fans originally gravitated towards. So I would say that was still probably pure for people in the Group Five, so I don't think you're alone there. But when it comes to, like, just rushing into it and dropping the ball, I mean, you can just point to Greg Sankey, but Emmert, the president of the NCAA, because we knew this was coming.
Well, their argument was, like, was not even necessarily against NIL, like them and some of the legislators. It was just slowing the process down to better plan. And,
right, but they
and then
they,
you know
they had 10 years to plan though. Like the thing was time, like we knew this was coming. Like you knew in your lifetime this was going to happen. Like the ball has been rolling on this since early 2010. I mean, like whenever at what point Cam was it that Northwestern's quarterbacks were like we're trying to unionize? Wasn't that like
that was
early like
2013?
Okay, it's so, like from that moment on, you knew like this was coming down
the most
tubes.
Hated man in America.
Right. I mean, it was that. I mean, obviously, like a lot of people remember the you know like the NCAA video game.
Ed, I was gonna say Ed O'Bannon, like whenever he's trying to get paid, and, like that was even earlier.
If I ever
than
see
that.
Him, it's on site. I would harm him.
And I would say there's probably a lot of like former college athletes that would thank him. That would probably say, like, thank you for getting the ball rolling on this and for getting us
those
a chance to make
$30 checks, yeah. Or 30.
No, I mean, you could say just the $30 checks, but I would say it's, I mean, if Ed O'Bannon didn't start that with, like, suing the game, like, I think that was kind of the first step to for players taking their name, image, and likeness back because EA Sports was basically like, we can't make a game anymore because these players, we can't use their
didn't
likeness.
Did it start with jerseys? Like, people getting upset about their jerseys getting sold? Because even though they didn't put the names on the back,
they were
it was just like obvious that they were putting numbers.
I mean, that's why people were buying the jerseys. Like,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, I think that's where it started before NCAA.
Maybe my timeline's off, but I thought Ed O'Bannon happened first. And then you basically had Johnny Manziel getting in trouble and Todd Gurley getting in trouble for autographs. And Johnny Manziel basically doing that whole offseason telling people, like, you know, he was the hottest, one of the hottest athletes in the entire world and, like, couldn't make any money, but was still, you know, trying to make his money Manziel shirts and still trying to do autographs and then, you know, had to get suspended. And, you know, people kind of pointed out the hypocrisy of, well, we can sell, what number is he, two? What number is he at Texas A&M? You can sell, they're selling
but
number
I,
two
I
jerseys.
I started even before that. But maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, that's when it like started blowing up.
I think that was the
Well,
the peak.
I mean, you're right. Like, that's all the build up.
Like, A.J. Green couldn't sell his game-worn jersey in a ball game. Mm-hmm. Like, Dez Bryant got in trouble for selling like his jersey. Like
it does feel like with NIL, though. I mean, and obviously it's not being used like intended. Like it was intended. It was intended to be used as, you know, players being able to earn money off of their own likeness when they've reached a school and when they developed. You know,
right. It's supposed to be like, hey, you get paid.
Your
you get paid $5,000.
You are actually valuable to a company. Your name, image, and likeness is valuable. You can earn money off of it. Instead, you know, we're giving 4-star wide receivers a couple hundred grand to come play for a school that have no actual value to their name yet.
Right.
And that was never the intended use. Obviously, we knew that was going
to
happen.
The thing was, I come back to that about Emirates. I don't think there was an intended use. I don't think they knew.
I think the intended use was like, hey, you can make money off. You can make your own Money Manziel t-shirts, Johnny, or hey, you can go sell your name, your autograph. You know, you can do this, that, or whatever else. I think that was like the original intention is guys that have, you know, clearly provided value to their program and whose name, image, and likeness has a value. They can then convert that value into money for themselves. You know, I don't think the intention was for us to, you know, Justin Williams, for example, 4-star running back that we just signed. That was his name, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not okay, cool. Yeah, yeah Justin
pretty,
Williams.
Pretty sure.
He announced like a deal with a company here, not to knock Justin Williams, but is he worth anything right now? Is his image and likeness worth anything? No. And it's not to say that he doesn't deserve that money or that, you know, he shouldn't be getting that money, but clearly that was not the intention. For us, for any schools to just be able to use it as a recruiting tool rather than for players to be able to rightfully earn money off their name.
What's going to happen is that ultimately what the NCAA and what a lot of the fans fought tooth and nail to try to stop is ultimately going to be like what maybe could save college football is just realizing like maybe we're better off. Maybe people are less turned off. If every Power 5 player just gets X amount of percentage of the revenue.
Yeah.
Like, we actually, like, treat them as employees. Like, you actually get $80,000 in cash if you are a, you know, SEC starter because we signed a $100 billion TV dealer. I mean, whatever the numbers were. Like, I don't think, obviously not $100 billion, but, like, you know, $800 million TV deal. Like, I think eventually we're going to hit a point where people would much rather just have their players have a set
base salary, almost,
maximum salary, rather than just going to the highest bidder because all these schools are going to outbid them. And ultimately, they'd be like, you know what? We probably should just let them make $80,000 a year. They were worth that value-wise.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
But we've gone too far, and now you've got some guys making a couple $1 million. Some guys making none. The people who are making none looking around saying, well, why can't I go there and make at least some money?
Yep.
If the NCAA just would have stepped up and said, you know what, we're gonna let these guys actually be employees, and yeah, here's their base salary of, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, because, you know, we got the money instead
and
of paying
stagger it on like playing time and stuff like that.
And even if you wanted to pay like half of it up front, or not half of it up front, but like half of it over the years, mm-hmm. and then the other half after graduation to incentivize guys for graduating, like yeah. I think ultimately we're gonna look back and say we should have done that.
Yeah, that would have been a much better game.
Maybe.
And you have the time to come up with a plan. Like you said, like it didn't just come up one year and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, now we're in a lawsuit. Okay, fine. Go do whatever.
What would you be more turned off by, Charlie? The idea that every Tennessee player made $50,000 a year or the fact that, or the idea that a player might transfer after the year to go somewhere where he can make 10 times
the
amount
of money? More turned off by the second option. My only thing with the first option is, I know you're saying it's strictly a percentage of revenue.
Yeah, I mean, correct. I don't know how they would come up with it, but
if it's my biggest concern would be Group of Five, and especially down in the FCS, there would be programs that say we cannot afford to have to pay players. You know,
I mean, every group. Look at who we're talking about to start the show. I mean, would you agree that Isaiah Neer was one of the better Group of Five players this year? Mm-hmm.
No, he was definitely like top 30, top 25.
I mean, this new system is going to like just poach all those guys are going to be able to transfer to
schools
and get outbid even
more
so.
And I'm not saying that like that's good either, but I think not necessarily Wyoming, but like you could go to like maybe Bowling Green, and if you say Bowling Green, you have to pay your players, they would say we're not going to have a football program. If you go
if they can't afford it, they don't have to. Like, I mean, we don't have to act like they're not in the same landscape as the SEC as it is now. Like, look at the difference in facilities and the difference in quality of players they get. It's already a different sport. Like, the sooner we quit pretending that it is, I think the better. Like, it's not utopia. It's not
socialism. I mean, no, like, you've discussed, like, decent options, and there. I don't know if there's even, like, a perfect answer out there, but, again, my concern would be, you know, if we go to the, instead of NIL, like, you know, you get percentage of this, that, or the other. Is the NCAA going to require programs to pay a percentage? And if they do, how many programs are going to say, we are not going to play football anymore? I mean, especially when you drop down to the FCS level, you know, I have a special place in my heart for FCS football, always have. Like the conference that my brother played in, for example, the Pioneer Football League. There is not a team in that conference that would be willing to continue their football program if they had to pay athletes.
Right, but what is their TV deal?
They have some ESPN3 games.
Right. So, like, I mean, X percentage of that would be like $300. Like, no, you know, no shade to those guys, but like, it's just different money. Like, so, like, mm-hmm. that's why I'm not saying, you know, X the same amount for every player across the country,
right,
because it's different. Like, the SEC is on a different playing field than the, you know, well, any conference outside the Big Ten. But, like, yeah, the Group Five just doesn't have the TV deals. And maybe it's, you know, again, I don't get paid the millions of dollars to figure this out, but I'm saying I think we're going to be pining for those days. Whenever it just turns into, you know, basically a highest bidder situation, mm-hmm. which it is right now.
Yep.
Illegal highest bidder situation. So, like,
yeah.
In recruiting before, you maybe had what? How much money do you think, like, Alabama and Georgia and even Tennessee had to spend, like, on a year in recruiting? $2 million?
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in there. You know what you're doing.
To drop off bags to people?
Yeah.
Like, you probably had $2 million at most, maybe, that people were willing to, like, illegally funnel.
Yeah.
And, if you're an upstanding businessman, you might have been like, you know what, I don't really want to get involved in this because it feels icky. I don't want to be the guy at LSU who's funneling money from my children's hospital charity to then buy some recruits. I don't want to do that. I feel icky. But now that it's legal, it opens up. It opens up where every business can look and say, you know what, actually, I would like to get involved in this. We are, you know, really rich here, and we do really care about these programs, and, like, it's one of the things we can actually brag about with our other rich friends. So, yeah, especially in Texas, like, every rich Texas A&M alum is like, you know what? We want to be better than Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah, let's spend the money. Legally. And it gets good publicity for our company, and it's a write-off, and we can do all these things.
And they'll be like, I did that, if they actually, like, you know, get better for Texas. That was me. You see
that? It's just a you-know-what measuring contest.
Yep.
See who's got the biggest feet. And I think ultimately, it's just going to get to the point where it turns off a lot of college football fans. and it says you're already turned off now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. Like, I'm the kind of guy that I will. I'm just still loyal to what I like, even if they don't. Even if they make me mad.
Okay.
Like, the Titans could fly a flag that says F Charlie Collier, we hate him and don't want him to watch us, and I'd be like, oh, that's weird. Go Titans. Like, I could get punched in the nuts walking into every sporting event I go to, and I'd be like, I guess I'm wearing a cup today.
That's a good way to be.
I just put up with it.
I do wonder, again, you're young. We talked about that. Like, maybe you haven't had it beaten out of you yet.
It won't be.
I think a lot of people felt that way.
I'm unique.
We'll see. Maybe
there's
you are.
There's nobody with this kind of passion.
Maybe. You just, you still have that optimism, that bright look in your eye. And I hope it doesn't fade away. I hope the real world doesn't beat you down, because
I just want to keep my sparkle, John.
I hope you do. I truly do. I hope you dance. I hope you dance. But, you know, we're, half a year? I guess we're just half a year. This is the second football season of NIL. It launched in what, like July of 2021?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, we're entering year two.
Okay. We're still not all the way through year one. Like, we're heading into season two, but. Yeah.
Season two,
right.
Still in year one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's going to slow down. Like, when you have, again, Texas saying $50,000 for every offensive lineman here.
Yep. They haven't really made any new rules or announcements or anything. So
if you're a Texas kid,
and
you're thinking between Texas A&M or Texas, let's just say Texas and Oklahoma, and you have a guaranteed $50,000 check waiting for you every year, I know where I'm going.
Oh, absolutely.
And it has nothing to do with your name, image, and likeness, because you haven't earned anything from it. It's just you play football. You're a body. And again, I don't think any of us have a problem with players getting paid. I thought the NCAA shouldn't have been let off the hook. I think they have created a bigger firestorm for themselves by using this method, by fighting so hard just to not have to give players any money while they give, what was the number, $500 million in buyouts over the last decade?
Yeah, if you can do that, you can pay some of these kids. You can outbid somebody.
Well, I mean, it's not even outbid. Like, if you can do that, like, there's enough money going around these big-time programs. Like, if you got – I mean, some of the schools that were paying the biggest buyouts and the most money were, like, schools you wouldn't think of that could afford. Like,
yep.
You lost the plot during COVID when South Carolina was like, here's $17 million, Will Muschamp.
Yeah.
Go away. During COVID.
Everybody was complaining about being broke, and yeah, you're doing that.
Think about how many coaches got fired during COVID. Like, whenever they're talking about,
Miami. Miami cut down all their teacher salaries and all their academic funding and then paid Diaz's buyout and gave Cristobal $9 million a year.
At least they waited till like, COVID. They'd got rich from COVID. Miami's actually weird because they had that, like, Miami Health that was actually, like, making billions during the pandemic.
Oh, yep.
But you lost any right to argue about anything in college sports whenever, again, you got to COVID and you're like, oh, nobody's getting fired this year. And everyone got fired. Everyone got fired. It's going to be really bad for the coaching carousel this year. Nothing's going to happen. Then everyone's actually like, you know what? Football may be more important than ever before. We realize how important football actually is, so we need to be good at it. It's the only thing that people watch during the pandemic. It's the only thing people want to fight to come see. Look at all this money. Wouldn't it be better if we were better at it?
Would be nice.
Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.